this is Howard Braun and Selma Weiss for the National Council of Jewish Women interviewing Gerald Soroker in his home in Oakland at the Atrium House. Say a word, Gerald.
Okay, this is Jerry Soroker, ready for duty.
This is tape four on August the 31st, 1993. Mr. Soroker, we have a unique opportunity with you, which I didn't want to pass up. We didn't do really enough on when we were there. And that is your experience as a consultant to the several, six or eight American Jewish federations. And I think that that could be of exceptional and also historic significance, because I can't think of anyone else who could tell us in terms that you might, one, what the experience was and what were some of the commonalities, the uniquenesses and the differences, and what general lesson you might be able to derive from this consulting thing. So first of all, tell us in the general form what the assignments were as a generality, and then what you did as a generality, and then let's go ahead one by one and tell us about the cities.
The Council of Jewish Women, the Council of Jewish Federation, at one point had a committee on campaigns. This is the National Service Organization for Federations, and on all federations for members. And the committee decided to see if we could develop a study plan to enable federations to take a better look at themselves. A form of self-study. So I was commissioned along with a couple of other fellows.
Name them. Who are they?
Well, Bob Diller. Robert Diller, H-I-L-L-E-R, who's the executive of the National Council, and myself, were commissioned to see if we couldn't develop some type of study plan. And what we did was we assumed a theory that those communities that were at the top in terms of their fundraising and production might have elements in common other than fundraising which would help them produce that level of performance. So we picked half a dozen top communities, the top communities that did a good fundraising job year in and year out. They included Cleveland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Montreal, San Francisco, maybe some others. And we asked the Federation directors in those towns to answer a questionnaire that we had developed. And when we got the returns back, it was as we had felt. They all showed certain expertise, not only in fundraising, but a whole host of other components. For example, the way they went about leadership development, the way they developed the mission program to Israel and to Europe, the way they budgeted their money, the way they were structured in terms of boards. And so what we did was we put that together in the form of a study outline. And that was, that's the background of the consultation. Then we offered this program some communities that we dealt with directly.
And who's the we? Who offered?
The council of council staff. Council staff, as they traveled around, and say, you know, there were problems, wanted to take a look at this study. Maybe that would help you. Self-study, maybe that would help you achieve better. And I guess I was, by that time, I was retired from the Federation of Sisters and was available to take on such projects. And the way it worked was the community would get in touch with the Council of Youth Federation, say that they were interested in the feasibility of the study. They would then, and they asked the council to refer somebody to them. So I did probably the majority of the study. Well, I was asked to go. And I would go to the community with the study plan, discuss with them two items. One, what their participation would be, what my team could do. After having first discussed it with my wife, because she's my agent. And I would tell them, and I would meet with a group of their leaders, ladies, senior executives, to discuss the program, telling them that they would need to develop a special study committee, that they would be asked to fill out the questionnaire, that I would, the process would take about 6 months, which would involve an initial meeting with myself and their study committee, where we would go over the parameters of what this is all about, and where I would use it to get some input without any structure, how they felt about themselves, why were they in this, what was their problem. Then I would send the questionnaire for their executive to work on to fill out. That would take them a month or two to do that. And then I would come back in two or more sessions. In the first session, I would give them an analysis of their questionnaire. In the second, I would then sit with them and get as they began to implement some of the recommendations. The difference between this study and many studies is that once the study was complete, we just didn't leave it with them and walk away. I would stay with them for a couple of months to get them moving in the process of implementation. And there might be 40 or 50 recommendations in the analysis, and then we will pick out together those that were achievable quickly, those that should wait, and then move it again. So that is, in a sense, the framework of these studies.
You mentioned a fee.
Oh, yes.
Does that include a per diem?
The fee was based on the following. The fee was based on a straight fee per job at plus travel.
Okay.
The travel and the hotels and so forth, they paid in addition to
T&L, travel and living.
Right. In addition to a fee for the study.
Right, okay. That's all I needed.
And the fee was substantial. I think that was an aside. I don't know if I mentioned this, but while I was paid relatively well, I thought, as executive consideration, I made more money in the in the studies and for several years, and I probably have made of the whole time I had the chief executive director, which is how it was.
That's common.
Yes, right, exactly. It was a surprise to me. There was a wonderful guy, I don't know if any of you knew him, with him, Neville House, who was a teacher, a professor of education at Pitt. What was his name, Ellen? Huh? Okay. And I was busy, we were socially friendly, and he was doing a lot of consulting, and he started to tell me how, what he bases the stuff he's on. And
yes.
In any event. So that was the process. Okay? So then from about 19, I retired to VA. And then in 79, I began working on some of these studies. And over the next...
In 1979.
All right. Over the next 8 years or so, I was involved in a series of studies that included Philadelphia, Miami, Buffalo, Dallas, Lauderdale, South Broward. And every one of these presented different problem. And what happened with me after you go through the process of meeting with them and getting their interpretation of what was wrong with them and having the questionnaire filled out and I coming in with the recommendation, each one would have certain things that, and then we would, I forgot to tell you, we would compare the results of their questionnaire with a composite we had developed of a good community. That was very, very favorable. See, how would they stack up against the so-called good community? And there were certain things that needed to be emphasized. And generally speaking, the study would cover an analysis of where they stood in reference to the composite, and then a series of 40 to 50 recommendations. For them to consider. Philadelphia, for example, very large federation, prestigious in their own mind. 300,000 Jewish population, old federation. Been in existence a long time. With some reluctance, decided that their per capita fundraising was at the low end of the totem pole. They wanted to have this done. And what we found out in Philadelphia was, number one, they had a board of about 200 people, which was meaningless. No board, really. Mm-hmm. And then there were a small number of people who, you know, tried to run the show. And they've become more so than in any other community I've been in. Mm-hmm. The separation of the German Jews. That existed there when I was the study. The Russian Jews were running the Federation. And there was real anger by the Russian Jews at what they felt was a lack of participation by the German Jews. that they didn't seem to make much of an effort to involve the German Jews, but they said they did. And that was what was happening. So the net result was, obviously, they weren't really getting communism. And one of the biggest groups that they had absolutely no relationship with was Annenberg and his group from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Is that right?
Yes.
And they really didn't want to have anything to do with it. Well, after one of the things that would happen when I would go to the very first meeting, the committee that they would choose to look at the demonstration was defensive. You can't believe how defensive they were. This was different. So this, and we can't do this. Well, they had all kinds of reasons why they weren't performing. And some of those meetings got a little sick. But since I had no responsibility in terms of who I was, you know, who I had to answer to, I didn't have to answer to anybody. I was able to be upfront, objective, and sometimes brutal. That's the way these studies operate. Now, there were very overseas oriented. And they had missions to Israel, they were productive. They did all the things that missions were supposed to do. Did well with the positive missions. But when it came to reaching out for leadership, restructuring their board, reaching out to their local agencies, they were doing nothing. They resisted it. Well, when the material came back, obviously, you could see right away that no leadership development program. Their local agencies hardly participated. Some of the questions dealt with how many of your members of your local agency make gifts to the federation, how that compares with the deposit. And they showed very, very poorly. They made no effort to get and insist that local agencies, if they want money from the federation, they have to participate in helping raise the money. Always a problem. Very badly. And I must say that they accepted many of the recommendations, most of them, and they just become a good study, but they've made remarkable progress over the last several years. They've involved Annenberg, and now give them $1 million a year. And all it took was really getting somebody. It wasn't difficult.
It shouldn't have been.
It wasn't difficult. He didn't give him, he was a terrible person and never to the Federation.
I've seen Annenberg stuff around
everywhere.
Palm Springs, California.
Oh, yeah, everywhere. And they started having relationships with the local agencies. They started having meetings with the local agencies. In any event, that was good.
Let me ask, was the political orientation of the Philadelphia Russian group notably liberal or conservative, or was it not a factor?
I don't think it was a factor. It was not a factor. Whether, generally speaking, there was always a tendency with the leadership of federation to move closer to being a Republican than the balance of the community, which was generally Democratic. If you're going to find Republicans, you usually found them in the richer, the more wealthy groups. But other than that, there were really no problems.
Yeah, I was more interested in knowing whether that created a problem, evidently not.
As a matter of fact,
that's an important.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I look over the history of participation, federation meetings, several meetings that I mentioned. That factor, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, practically played no role. The beauty of the federation meetings,
it's incredible.
The beauty, the unbelievable beauty of it, was that this was an area where everybody could be Russians, Germans, people with accents, people without accents, liberals like Howard Metzenbaum, who was a flaming liberal.
Flaming.
And still is.
What did you say?
He's amazing. The flaming liberal. I used to play tennis on his tennis court. And he never changed a stitch. They're strong and wealthy, and he found his place in the arena. So that it's a Democrat-Republican business, just never, I don't believe it to be a factor in the way.
That's an important observation.
Yes, very good. It's absolutely true. If one would think that maybe there would be a no, not here. Like in Pittsburgh, the Specter, who was always a good friend of the Jews, Republicans and Democrats, cross lines, big on the part. One of the biggest considerations all the time in politics was relationship to Jews, particularly relationship to Israel. Because in those years, everything was shaky with Israel. So he needed lots of good friends in the politicians. So it doesn't make any difference, Republicans, Democrats. These guys gave money to both sides. The wealthy guys always gave money to both the Democrats and Republicans. So that was never a problem. So that was a fascinating example of a community that looked at itself as something very special, finally came to grips with what they were not doing and reached out to people and have been relatively successful. It always happened that way.
Another offbeat question. Rabbis are supposed to be a problem. Was it a problem in Philadelphia?
No. There were rabbis. As a matter of fact, all the rabbis were friendly.
All the rabbis?
Absolutely friendly. The most conservative and most reformed, the Orthodox, that was never a problem. Again, as an aside, generally speaking, federations have tended to screw rabbis.
Because they screw up the work. They screw up the work.
Right. Well, they tend to get emotionally involved and make big speeches and looking for audiences. And early on, I think the Federation movement, going way, way back, goes back to the 1900s. Early on, I think somehow it just became understood that they're better off letting the rabbis do their thing. And asking the rabbis to let the Federation do this. By and large, that works out to this very day. And even now, for example, halfway through, years, 10 years ago at least, we finally went to the rabbis and asked them to have the Federation Sabbath, and all the rabbis were the Federation. So that was a degree of their participation. And except for Aleli, who became a campaign chairman, and one or two other individuals with experience who became campaign chairman, but most of the rabbis worked out. So religious differences, even though with education, the center, the Sabbath, I would say, so that was Philadelphia. then...
You mentioned Annenberg. Was there another major big giver besides...
Well, he was by far.
Yes, I didn't know that.
But there were others in the Russian Jewish group who were quite young. And this was incidentally a young... The leadership at the time was young. Mm-hmm. Young and angry. And that was their biggest problem. They thought they could get along without these people. Mm-hmm. They couldn't. They were like trying to, like, the money without the people that were giving them money. Other than that, no, they weren't reaching enough people. They just weren't reaching enough of the people that had money. Okay, now, you know, let's go to the other end of the coin, go to Buffalo.
The
Jewish community of 20,000 Jews sitting up there in the Snow Country. Again, with a good history of Federation. There is an existence there a long time. Mm-hmm. They had one or two people who dominated the scene. Everybody else was certainly willing to let them dominate the scene. And they had an executive who was there for umpteen years, a wonderful guy. And they limped along. Well, as a couple of younger people got involved, they got unhappy with their performance. And before they asked for the study, they had hired a new executive to replace
Stop.
Wait,
I think there's a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a little bit.
New executive to replace this guy who had retired, but nothing seemed to have changed. They were unhappy.
Do you remember the new guy's name?
Well,
I knew why, but that's why I didn't
know why. I really don't remember the name of that, but I'd rather not.
Okay.
So I went through the process with Buffalo, getting a committee together to examine do they want the study and so forth. One of the first things we discovered was that the best people in town, the most, not necessarily the most down affluent, clear affluent, but the most intelligent people in town had nothing to do with Federation. They were just not involved. And the first thing that we discussed was the study couldn't go forward unless the study committee covered somebody. It was useless to try to have a study. They were talking to themselves with people that they needed information from to help them. She went out of the box. They finally did bring in a few of these. The truth is very helpful because, again, the big part of the problem in addition to professional direction was the fact that they didn't have a rotating board. Mm-hmm. You can't believe how hard they fought against a rotating board for every kooky reason. None of which were valid, but because they thought they could do it better than anybody else. And these new people that they brought on helped very much in the study process, because now we got to change that. Mm-hmm. During the study, I came back one time for another meeting, and the to discover that their fathers are hitchhiking. During the sun. Mm-hmm. The son has always said to me, Dad, whenever you do a study, somebody loses a job, mm-hmm. and it doesn't really work out that way. In this case, the interesting thing was that their dad had gone. He was an ex-physician. He had worked for the Joint Distribution Committee of Europe for several years. And generally, when these guys were located off their job, the Joint Distribution Committee, and incidentally, one worked for the Joint Distribution Committee, let's say, in Morocco or the field there, and you were a team.
Yeah.
Were absolutely a team.
Yeah, sure.
And so they came to these communities and they inspected, and so frequently they were hired by Federation. In many cases they didn't work out. Because they expected to be kings, not workers. Now they worked too in when they were taking they expected a different kind of handling.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to answer to anybody when they were ready. When you were the director of Morocco, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You were too far. Was actually in that stage.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.